name. Where is he? He's in the midst. He's right here. And one thing that will always come out, no matter what I start preaching on, will be inheritance. God has called me to tell people what their inheritance is, to how to find your treasure and your inheritance in God's word. And because God has called me to that, there is an anointing here for people to receive their inheritance. Amen? You know, it's one thing to, like, when you go to a Benny Hinn meeting, what do you expect is going to happen? People are going to be healed, because that's his thing. When you go to a Billy Graham crusade, what's going to happen? People get saved, because that's his thing. Amen? And if you go to a, I don't know if you know Miles Monroe, he talks a lot about leadership, and God uses him in that area. But when you go to those places, for God anointed those people for those things, and those things happen. Amen? Well, here, God wants to see you walk in all the promises. Amen? Not just to have him here, but have him here. And in order to do that, we need the power of God. Amen? We need his anointing, his glory, his presence, his fire. And I believe that those things are here. So what that will do then, God's power will activate the promises that you need the most. Amen? Whatever you need in the moment, whatever you need right now, God's power is here to activate that in your heart and in your life. You know, he doesn't just want it to be a thought. He wants it to reverberate throughout your entire being.
Hallelujah.
Amen? And if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to talk about the blessing of being an heir. Say, I'm an heir. Now, I'm not talking about A-I-R. I'm talking about H-E-I-R. Yeah, we're going to get some air tonight, amen? Fresh air. Galatians 3:29. If you belong to Christ, how many belong to Christ? Amen? You're his child. He bought you with a price. He pulled you out of darkness, set you into his light. You belong to him. You were born into his family. You were adopted into his family. You were engrafted into his family. We belong to him. Amen? So, if we belong to Christ, you are in him, then you are Abraham's offspring or Abraham's seed. Okay? And you are heirs according to what?
Promise.
Oh, that is the foundation for whatever God calls me to do, Galatians 3:29. Back in 1991, I came across that scripture and it jumped off the page at that moment. Now, in that moment, I didn't know what it was then. Of course, God showed me a lot more things about it now. Amen? But the blessing, you know, there is a blessing about being an heir of God. God wrote you into his will. He wrote your name down. Oh, praise God. Praise God. There is a blessing. God's blessing is the empowerment to increase. God wants you to increase in your inheritance. And we're going to get a little bit more light about what that means tonight. What is an heir? You are a successor. I like that. The first part of that word is you're a success.
Yes. Amen.
Say, I'm a success. Going somewhere to happen. In other words, God has equipped you already to be a success. He's already equipped you. So an heir is a successor. It's a beneficiary. That's the root word of benefit. Amen? I love benefits. God's got a lot of them. Forget not his benefits. He daily loads us with benefits. There are benefits about being a child of God. An heir is a recipient. That is someone who receives something. Say, I'm a receiver. Do you have your receiver tuned in to the Holy Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit network. Are you tuned in? The Holy Spirit network is the network by which God communicates to you. There's never a drop call. There's never an overcharge. Matter of fact, there's no bill. But you have a direct communication with the Creator of the universe. He invited you to come boldly before his throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. Anybody need grace? Well, there's an abundance of it before the throne of God. And so whenever you approach the throne, you're going to receive grace and mercy. Grace is God's ability. Okay? I feel good already. An heir is somebody who holds the right to receive a property, a position, or a title of somebody else when they die. Before you met Christ, you were in a low position. But when you met Christ, he elevated you. He brought you higher. He is the glory and the lifter of your head. He causes you to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you have a right to receive his position. Now, that's good news because he is never in a position of defeat. And you may think the deck is stacked against you, but that's when God's mightiest display of his power will operate. You know, the Apostle Paul, there was a demon that, you know, how'd you like to show up every time you have a meeting to preach the gospel? There's a demon spirit instigating people to try to kill you. And, you know, Paul got a little bit upset about this. He said, Lord, take this away 3 times. But what was God's response? My grace is sufficient for you. In other words, no matter what you're facing in life, God's got greater grace to help you overcome that. You have greater grace. In other words, there's nothing that you face that can defeat you. Amen. Because of the grace of God that's operating through you and in you. Hallelujah. An inheritance is considered immediate and ultimate. I love that. Your inheritance begins the moment you believe in Christ. The moment you believe in Christ, God writes your name in the book of life.
Hallelujah.
The moment you believe in Christ, your sins are blotted out and you have a new beginning. You have a bright future. You have an accepted place. You are accepted in the beloved. And the moment you believe is when turnaround begins. Praise God. All legitimate heirs usually share the inheritance equally and jointly rather than a division. So we are joint heirs with Jesus. We share equally in everything that Jesus has is yours. Because now when God looks at you, He sees that you have been covered with the blood of Christ. He doesn't look to you according to your past. When you're covered in the blood of Christ, your sins have been wiped away, He doesn't see them anymore. He sees Jesus. He sees that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Praise God. Lord, help me get this out the way I need to get it out. And whether you've been born into a family or you've been adopted, you share equally in the inheritance. Amen? Go with me to Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, what time is he talking about? When Jesus Christ came, he made the payment on the cross. He sealed the deal with the Holy Spirit. When that time came, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, and you might say daughters. Amen? So there was a time when God sent his Son to redeem us from the inside out. You talk about an inside job. God destroyed sin from the inside out. God came as an earthly man, but he was more than a mere earthly man. He was God. He was the God-man. Okay? And he came to redeem us that were under the law, so that we might receive. Remember, an heir is a recipient. So this is one thing that an heir receives. We receive adoption. Because you are sons and daughters, say, men, say, I'm a son. Women, say, I'm a daughter. Because you are a son and a daughter, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son, where? Into your hearts. Whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. That means daddy. You have a right to call God daddy. You have a right to sit on your daddy's lap. You have a right to lift your arms up to your daddy, and he will pick you up. He will comfort you. He will help you. He will guide you. He will direct you. That's what we have as an heir. Verse 7, wherefore you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Say, I'm an heir of God. Praise God. We are heirs. That means we have an inheritance. And an inheritance is only good if someone died. Did someone die? Jesus, right? He died for us all. And because he died, God's will is now in effect. Now get this. Tonight, you are attending the reading of the will. You don't know what belongs to you until you go to the reading of the will. You get a letter from a lawyer that says, you need to come here. You need to hear what belongs to you. And the moment you hear what belongs to you, you have a right to possess it. You have a right to take ownership of it. You have a right to make it yours. Everything that's written about you in the will is yours. Everything that God says in His Word, which is His will, is yours. It belongs to you. You have a right to possess it. You have a right to use it. You have a right to have it. You have a right to enjoy it. Legally. We're in the reading of the will tonight. You know, it'd be hard for you to lay claim what you don't know is yours. If you don't know what belongs to you, it goes under unclaimed freight. You know, sometimes when people lose luggage and it might get shipped all around the world and nobody claims it for a certain amount of time, it goes under unclaimed freight. There's actually people that have businesses that buy these things at a cheap price and they sell what's ever in them. There's like 24, I think I read a statistic. It said there's like $24 billion worth of unclaimed things in the world or in this country maybe. But I don't want you to fall short of what God has provided for you. We sang about the greatness of God tonight. Our God is great, isn't He? And He wants to be great in you. He wants to do great things for you. Those who put their trust in God will do great exploits. Amen? He'll take ordinary people and He'll do extraordinary things for them. Tonight, you have to build your confidence of who God made you to be. He made you an heir. And as an heir, you have rightful claim to every promise. You know, the Bible says all of God's promises are yes and amen. Yes, and so be it. You notice God never says no to one of His promises? All of His promises are yes. Can I have that? Yes. Can I have healing? Yes. Can I have deliverance? Yes. Can I have peace? Yes. Can I have joy? Oh, yes. Have it till you have it so much where you can't speak. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. You got too much joy that you can't even express it in words. Too much joy. You have to understand something. There are no shortages in God. Sometimes there are shortages in our faith. The Lord said this to me today. I don't mean I heard an audible voice. I mean I just felt this on the inside of me. He said, when we diminish our hearing, we diminish our believing, and we will diminish our receiving. Because faith comes by what? So if you're going through something, you need to be hearing more faith about what you're going through. You need to hear what God says about what you're going through so that you will have the strength to receive the victory that's already been provided for you. So you got to put yourself into a hearing posture. When you encounter someone who hasn't eaten for, let's say, 2 days, what happens when you make them a meal? Do they just take a little bit on their plate? No. When you encounter someone that's really hungry, you know, don't ever tell someone who's really hungry to lick the bowl, because they'll put the bowl on their face. Right? Now, that's how we have to be spiritually. Especially when we're going through something, we have to increase our intensity. Amen? Amen? Yes. In other words, we have to hear what God says more than we hear other things until we get through that thing, right? Amen. And we can do that because we're heirs. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Man, this is good. Amen. What a privilege it is to proclaim good news. Amen? Amen?
Yes,
tonight your confidence is going to increase. Amen. Tonight your faith is going to increase.
Amen.
You know, if you want to lift a certain amount of weight in the natural, let's say if I wanted to bench press 250 pounds, I might be able to do it. But if I couldn't, what would I do to be able to do it? I would work out. I would lift smaller weights over a period of time, and I would build my muscle to be able to handle greater weights. Faith is like a muscle. Can muscles grow?
Yes.
So can faith.
Yes.
The Bible talks about our faith that grows exceedingly. Just like a muscle can grow, faith can grow. If you want to be able to handle bigger things, you're going to have to work out your faith.
Yes.
You know? You're going to have to do God's bench press. Oh. You're going to have to get bigger Bibles. No, just kidding. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. We are heirs according to the what? To the promise. You're an heir according to the promise. Verse 13. For the promise, he was talking to Abraham, that he should be the heir of the world, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through righteousness, which is by faith. Okay? For they which are of the law... If they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. You do not become an heir through the law. You can't earn an heir badge. You can't do enough good things to make you an heir. There's no amount of achievements that you could... You could conquer to become an heir. It's by faith. It is only by faith. It is only by believing God, by putting your trust in God alone. Everybody say alone. You know, you cannot mix what God says with the opinions of others. Because faith only comes by hearing God's word. If you try to mix anything else with what God is saying, your faith is going to be diluted. You know, when you dilute something, it loses its strength, doesn't it? It loses its potency. Okay? All right? Let's go to verse... 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? What did Abraham find? For if Abraham were justified by works, he would have something to glory, but not before God. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Amen? And we are heirs of the promise by righteousness, by faith. Okay? Now I want you to get this picture. I'm just going to do it this way. In your checkbook, right, you have two columns, don't you? You have a column that brings stuff in called a deposit. Right? Or you have a column that goes out. Okay? So what God did was, This is so good. God came to Abraham and he gave him a promise, didn't he? God said, if you do this, Abraham, then I'm going to do this. That's a promise. Okay? Did Abraham do what God said to do? Read Genesis 12. I don't have time to go in it right now. Okay? Abraham did what God said to do. Did God fulfill his promise to Abraham? When God said to Abraham that he was going to be a father, was he a father? No, he wasn't. Not when he spoke to him. When God said that Abraham was going to be a father of many nations, he didn't have any kids. So how are you going to become a father of many nations when you don't have any kids? Well, him and Sarah could go on a date, couldn't they? But there was a problem. Their bodies were past that time. Okay? So what happened was, God spoke to Abraham. He gave him the word of God where Abraham could put faith, okay? When Abraham heard God's word and he saw it, he believed God. The column that went out was emptied, and the column that brings stuff in was full. Go with me to Genesis chapter 15. Okay? And we're going to come back to Romans 4, so just kind of hold your place there. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? What was Abraham looking at? He's already now in Genesis 15. God gave him the promise in Genesis 12, and he still hadn't had any kids. Notice what Abraham said. The steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, Behold, to me you have given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. That was incorrect believing. Notice how Abraham is relying on his circumstances. Okay? Don't we ever get like that? Where our circumstances that we find ourselves in are greater than what God said? And we begin to doubt. We begin to ask ourselves, is this even possible? Does this even work? How's this going to happen? Look at what God said, verse 4. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be your heir. Thank God how the word can correct our incorrect believing. Okay? But he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. And this is how God does. God always uses pictures. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if you be able to number them. Is it possible for any person to number the stars? No. Okay? And if you be able to number them, he said to him, so shall your seed be. So all Abraham had to do was see the impossibility and hear the word, and then look at what he did. Verse 6. He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Did it take long for Abraham to correct his belief? You're talking about from the time, if I was to walk outside from right here, the time of going outside and seeing the stars, that's how quickly Abraham corrected his believing. So that's good news for us. If we have been misbelieving, we can correct our belief quickly. Amen? Because being an heir and being righteous only comes by what we believe. It doesn't come any other way. So to reap the benefits of being an heir, you have to believe. You have to believe God. All God told Abraham was, you see how many stars there are? That's how many descendants, that's how your descendants are going to be. He believed God. It was that simple. All right, let's go back to Romans 4. Okay? And look, go down to verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Notice, in order to get the grace of God, you got to get in faith. Isn't that right? Let me read that again. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be. By grace. It is of faith that it might be by grace. When you get in faith, the moment you believe, God's ability is right there. In other words, how you believe what God said about your situation will cause God's ability to come in you to change that situation. But you got to get in faith. You got to believe. You got to trust, not reason, not feel, but believe. Belief comes from the heart. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and what? You will be saved. Right? Is salvation available to all? Are all saved? No, because not all have believed. But the moment a person believes, God's grace is activated and the gift of salvation is made available to you. It's like when you believe, you hear the cash register, ka-ching. Okay? All right, let's read on. To the end, this is still in verse 16, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham. When he's speaking of the law in that sense, it means Israel as well. Who is the father of us all? How did Abraham become righteous? How did he become righteous? How did we become righteous? How do we receive the benefits of being an heir? Because we believe. If you believe that you're an heir, you shall be. Let me put it to you this way. If you believe you're an heir, you are. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay? Verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Even God. Did Abraham have any other evidence to show that he would be a father? What evidence did he have? All he had was God's word. How much evidence do you need for your situation? All you need is God's word. That's it. Do you realize that God's word created the universe? God's word brought things into being. He's still bringing things into being. Do you realize that if you're missing something, God can create it? Because that's the power of his word. Before whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead. He calls those things which be not as though they are, or as though they were, right? So when God encounters a sick person, what does he call them? He calls them the healed. So if you're sick, you do not identify yourself with sickness. You identify yourself with healing. But I don't feel it. Faith is not based on feelings. Yeah, but this thing is still there. Faith is not based in what you see with the natural. Faith is only based in God's word. That's it. When you believe what God says, he activates it in your life. Okay? See, when Abraham believed God, he made a decisive transaction. And he transferred the righteousness of God to him. Simply by believing. The moment he believed, all the righteousness that was in God came into Abraham, and Abraham was made righteous. He was in right standing with God. He could approach God in a right way. He was made righteous simply by believing. When he believed, something transferred on Abraham's behalf. It was like God made an electronic transfer. God transferred from his account into Abraham's account. And when Abraham's account read zero, once the transfer occurred, it was full. Amen? You might be at zero, but I'm telling you that right now, God's about to make a divine transfer. He's about to make a transaction because you're a person who believes God. It was a strong, direct, unwavering act of confidence. Well, let me just try it and see if it works. You know, like if you're at the swimming pool and if you want to test if the water is cold or not, you dip your toe in. No, you got to just jump in. That's confidence. Confidence is not, okay, I'll try it to see if it works. That's not confidence. Confidence is bold. Confidence is demanding. You're not demanding God, but you're demanding the power that's rightfully yours because you're an heir. Listen, in the natural, if you go to a reading of the will is a legal document. If that will says, you were given $10,000 at such and such a bank, you can take that will and you can go down to such and such a bank and you can make a withdrawal on it because you have the legal right to do so. Let me tell you, friends, you have the legal right. Healing has been deposited in your account. Salvation has been deposited in your account. Hope has been deposited into your account. Amen. And you can make a withdrawal. It doesn't require a card. It requires a code, J-E-S-U-S. That code will unlock anything that's in your account. Come on. Because you're an heir. You have a right. The devil cannot say to you, it's not yours, because you have a right. It's been established in heaven. You have a right to claim what is yours. God gave it to you through Jesus Christ. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, whatever he gets, you get. Praise God. Is this, are you seeing this? See, when the moment Abraham believed God, he received credit from God. He couldn't earn it. All he could do was believe it. That takes the sweat out of receiving. Listen, you don't have to sweat great drops of blood to try to get something from God. If I stand here long enough, maybe God will give it to me. No, you're an heir. That'd be like me going to my parents' house and saying, is it okay if I go in the refrigerator? Think about it. If I went home to visit my parents, I'm their son. I was born into their family. My name is Pishka. I don't have to ask my mom or my dad if it's okay if I go into the refrigerator. Why? Because I'm a Pishka. I have access to it. I have a right to it. Therefore, I don't have to ask. I can just go in and get to satisfy whatever I need. That's what being an heir is. God, his belief transferred righteousness to him. Go to Galatians 3:6. Galatians 3:6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. You know, you could say it this way. I believed God, and it was accounted to me for healing. I believed God, and it was accounted to me for deliverance. I believed God, and it was accounted to me for strength. Let the weak say I'm what? Then how come the weak always say I'm weak? We're not saying the right thing. Because we believe we're weak because we feel we're weak. You're moved by what you see and your feelings, not by what God said. Listen, sometimes what God says is going to contradict what you feel. But which has greater authority? What you feel or what God said? You might feel something, but that doesn't mean it'll change. But when you speak God's word over it, it's going to bring about change. You know, Lazarus felt dead. Matter of fact, he felt so dead, he didn't want to get out of the grave for 4 days. He was dead. He was enjoying himself in heaven. And Jesus said, Lazarus, he had to use his name, otherwise you don't know who would have came out of that grave. Jesus just simply said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus said, oh, I better go. He's hopping out of the tomb. He was wrapped up. But see, then once he was out, he had to be loosed and let go. You know, sometimes God brings you out of a situation, but you still got the grave clothes on. And once you're out, you have to be loosed and let go. Let's grab a hold of the loose end and spin you like a top. And sometimes when the anointing of God and the power of God is moving, you feel like that spun top. Maybe God just has to knock you out so that he can do some spiritual anesthesiology on you. The key, it doesn't matter who lays hands on you. It doesn't matter how anointed the service is. What matters is what you believe. You know, some people can lay empty hands on empty heads and nobody gets nothing. You know, just because I put a label on an empty can, that doesn't mean there's anything in the can, right? What is going to make the difference from you receiving what you need? It's what you believe. You know, a little child could lay hands on you. Do you think that little boy that gave Jesus his lunch, Do you think he believed that Jesus could multiply it? I believe he does. If he didn't believe it, he wouldn't have gave it. See, when you believe something, you act on what you believe. And your action could be as simple as saying some words. Sometimes we think that saying words is not enough of an action to show that we're in faith. Well, let me tell you, when Jesus was at Lazarus' tomb, did he jump up and down? Did he do cartwheels? Did he make up some strange concoction? What did he do? He spoke. Are you a joint heir with Jesus? What happens when you speak what he speaks? The same results that he got with what he said are going to be the same results that you get with what you said, as long as what you're saying is in agreement with what he said. So sometimes speaking, you know, when you're fighting depression, you need to speak words filled with joy and rejoicing. Well, I don't feel like rejoicing. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Why did he say again I say? You ever think about that? Because he didn't get it the first time, so you keep saying it, and eventually it's going to stick. Do you realize that you have the ability to speak to mountains? You can speak to mountains. You can cast out devils. You ever cast out a devil? Anybody ever cast out a demon? You can cast out devils. You can lay hands on the sick, and because of the life and the power of God that's in you, they shall recover. Notice, it didn't say lay hands and pray, it just said lay hands. You might just lay hands on something, and the power that's in you is just going to go forth. Because it's not you that does the work, it's the power. You got to have faith in the power of God. Amen? Paul had faith in the power of God and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. I've got faith in God's power tonight, that he can boost your confidence. You're going to leave tonight believing like you're a lion. You know, wouldn't it be funny if a lion was in the jungle and it went, roar, roar? You wouldn't call him the king of the jungle. How you roar shows what you believe. Sometimes you have got to fight because it's not your authority. I guarantee you, when Jesus went into the temple, he didn't say, could you guys please leave? You're really disrupting this. I mean, this is not the way God wants it done. You need to leave now. People would have laughed at him. There are times when you got to let his might come on you, and it'll come on you with force. Amen? Let me finish up here. So, you have been made an heir of the promise. That means every promise of God belongs to you. What God said in his word, you can have. What he said you can do, you can do. What he said you are, you are. You are more than a conqueror, right? No weapon can defeat me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am victorious. Say, I'm victorious.
I am victorious.
Say, I am healed.
I am healed.
I am whole.
I am whole.
Aren't you getting a picture of being whole? Say, I'm delivered. Yeah, you know, sometimes we get junk on us. We just need deliverance. We need the power of God to deliver us. Sometimes we're dead and we need to be woke up. Say, I'm alive in Christ. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Everything I do, I triumph in. I am a child of God. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I have peace that passes understanding. I walk in the power of God. Enemies flee from me. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the only thing that matters is what you believe. You want to change your circumstance? Change what you believe. Find out what God said about what you're going through. Find out about what God said and start speaking what he said. And you know what? You may have to meditate on it a little bit. This is not fast food sometimes. Sometimes it's immediate, but other times you've got to let it simmer in your heart before you can speak it out with authority and power. Sometimes we try to speak it out when it's in our head and not our heart, and then we don't get the results. This word has to be in you. You will have to memorize it. Let me just close with this. When the devil tempted Jesus, what was Jesus' response? It is written. Did he try to say to the devil, you're crazy? Did he say, that's dumb? No, he simply said, it is written. Could the devil answer that? No. Then he moved into another area. He said, it is written. Then he said, it is also written. Because when you start saying it's written, the devil will use scripture, but he perverts it. Has not God said? Isn't that what he told Eve? Has not God said? Listen, you don't have to argue with the devil. You can just tell him to shut up. Because you're an heir. If you're an heir, act like it. Amen? Hold your head up high. Put your shoulders back. Because you are victorious. If Jesus was victorious, so are you. If he was raised from the dead, what's going to happen to you? You're going to be raised too. That's what the Bible says. So the blessing of being an heir, the blessing comes when you believe you are. Amen? Father, I thank you so much for your power. Make these words alive in everyone's heart tonight, Father. Let them know that there's nothing that they face that will overtake them. Father, I thank you that you will activate the revelation knowledge of us being an heir of God, being a joint heir with Jesus, having an inheritance, having access to all of God's goodness. Father, I thank you that as they believe that they're an heir, they're going to come out of trouble. They're going to be delivered from pain. They're going to be set free. Having pain is not freedom. God wants to set you free from pain. He took our pains. He bore our sicknesses. And by his stripes, we are healed. What a deal. Praise God. You are the healed. You are the whole because that's what God made you. That's His will for your life. He does not want sickness. He didn't bring sickness. He hates sickness. He dealt with sickness just like He dealt with sin. And everywhere that Jesus went, He healed, He preached, and He taught. He's still doing that today. He's the healer. We have a right to healing, divine healing. Ultimately, He wants you to walk in divine health. He doesn't want you beaten down. He wants you to rise up victoriously. The devil cannot bully you. Because you have the nature of your big brother on the inside of you. And He who is in you is greater than he was in the world. Amen? Well, Father, you just move on this in Jesus' name. Have a great night. Thank you, guys.